Well, today is June 22nd, 2019, broadcasting, of course, on the 23rd. I'm on the line with Salinas activist, country globetrotter, and mayoral confronter, Wes White, or whip him into shape, Wes, as I sometimes call him. Hello, Wes. I'm better than many, but I'm wondering, you just got back from Washington, D.C. after having spent your night on a cold floor in the Minnesota airport or Milwaukee or St. Paul or some such thing, but you also spent some time in Washington, D.C. in the hot weather. What happened there, if anything, that you thought was of note, and what do you got to tell us?
So there was a Poor People's Campaign, Moral Action Congress. Poor People's Campaign is a national call for a more revival. It's kind of led by a couple of co-chairs, Dr. Reverend Barber and Dr. Liz Sia Harris. Dr. Liz actually inducted all of our officers into the California Homeless Union at that time. And, of course, we've gained a lot more members who should be officers as well or whatever. So we went there. There was an organizing committee for a national union of the homeless that we had in the morning. So that was like with Greensboro, North Carolina. They have a homeless union there. And in Boston, a couple places they have there. And then, you know, California Homeless Union. And even Robert Geary was there from the jungle in San Jose. And... It was a really good turnout. So we talked there, and then we had a panel discussion later in the morning where we had, it was standing room only, and we had maybe 20 different speakers, you know, from places.
Now, were you present with your video equipment, as you often are?
Correct. But, you know, I have not published it yet, but it should be published hopefully tonight or tomorrow.
Any trouble with TSA getting on and off the planes?
yes, a little bit, but not enough to slow me down. It was Delta that really sucked. But TSA, dude, on the way in, leaving into, so we came in and out of Baltimore, and going into Baltimore to leave, the guy, you know, looked at Alicia and looked at her thing and her ID. You know, gave her right back to her, and then, you know, I mean, that's standard procedure, right? And then he gets mine, and he's all, let's say, oh, California, and, you know, I don't know, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, though, and so he looks at me, looks at the car, looks at me, car, me, you know, and then he finally, beep, and then, you know, it's kind of, oh, dude, that was frustrating, and then the whole undressing and you know, and that's just embarrassing already, and so I'm already slow and they're telling me to hurry up and just shit like that. But yeah, no, we missed our flight, and that was the lamest, dude.
So I know that you had weather problems on the way back. Did anything strike you while you were in Washington, D.C. that you particularly remember?
You know what? So we did our, you know, and you'll see the videos for that standing room only talk. Then we went to the White House, we took pictures on both sides, there was a thunderstorm, we went to Starbucks, and we met this guy, Nathan, you know, because it was just starting to pour as soon as we got in the door. So we were with Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs, mm-hmm. and Alicia Cool for Santa Cruz Homeless Union, and myself for the Salinas Homeless Union. So we just kind of went in for some water, and, you know, just kind of kick it, maybe we were thinking 5-10 minutes of rain, and then go. Well, we ended up staying there for at least, whatever, 45 minutes, and that dude Nathan was there, too. Well, fucking got a shopping cart bag over his head, you know, and he's got a hole for it, and, you know, he's like, this is my ring gear, you know, it's like a trash bag, I think, actually, you know, and then he had these orange sunglasses. He was talking about, like a rat or something being around, and Keith starts saying, oh, you know, it might be a mole. You know, and so they just went on this long-ass conversation, man. I was just like, cool, man, you know. And actually, we thought nobody was listening, but then, like, you know, there was some kind of joke or something, and everybody laughed, and it was like all that tension was gone, you know, because almost everybody there is like a lobbyist suit, you know. So it's like they had a newfound appreciation for this dude that they kind of hardly ever respected before.
A lot of business suits there.
Yeah, there were a few, and then of course the staff there already at Starbucks, and they were, you know, they were already nice too. Alicia got the waters, and they asked her if we could wash them, take care of them, whatever. And she's like, yeah, of course, you know. And then Keith just ended up striking a conversation with them, and just went and quit.
So, I know in Santa Cruz, at least at one of the Starbucks, the one that is on Ocean Street, the one I visited about a year ago, it seems like now, after the court suit by some African Americans alleging discrimination, winning a successful, very nasty publicity campaign that Starbucks was exposed to because of its bad behavior towards these folks, they decided to allow anybody, even if you're not a customer, to use their restrooms, or at least that's what they announced. Is that the case in Salinas as well? Because that's, of course, where you hail from.
I do not patronize any kind of store, really. So, you know, I don't spend money, boycott consumerism. So I don't really know in Salinas, but in Washington, that was the thing. I was in the first thing, and no lock on the door. You know, Nathan was actually African-American black, so, you know, no problem there either. I mean, you know, it was actually pretty chill in that respect, but, you know, maybe I was the only one uncomfortable.
Now, was this in downtown Washington?
This is right off the mall.
And was there, at the same time as this, I guess there was a thunderstorm outside?
Correct. Okay, so we went to the front, we all took our little selfies, and we talked to this other dude that's been like no more for over 39 years already, and so we took pictures of that dude, and then we went around to the back, took pictures there, and sat down at this bench, and then there was a thunderstorm thing coming in, and we were tripping out about the plane, and then the lightning came, and he's like, you know what, dude, we better start heading out, even though it's going to start raining.
Were there many homeless people on the streets, outside? I know, of course, downtown L.A. is one large homeless encampment.
There were a couple, and in fact, there was one lady laying down that I was trying to get a picture of it, and she pretty well realized that we were trying to take a picture of her, so she jammed out.
There was a few, definitely,
that I noticed, and of course, I'm sure there were a lot more that I did not notice.
How much time did you actually spend on the streets of Washington compared with the suites of the, national homeless union gathering or poor people's campaign?
We only ditched the afternoon session, so it rained not even like an hour into our walk because we didn't even hardly make it around the back of the White House.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing seaside work when you're not traveling abroad here and there.
Seaside, I got to get more into the loop of. I know they have a homeless committee that supposedly got a draft version of it for an ordinance, a homeless ordinance, and I'm not sure all the ins and outs of it. So I'm really not prepared.
Yeah, I think Becky Johnson may have more information. And when I said seaside, of course, I was fumbling about. You're actually more of a person who's had a lot more experience with in Salinas, which is where you spend a lot of your activist time. What's been happening up there recently?
Okay, so another video that will be come out. So right after I got back Thursday night, or Thursday late afternoon, Friday morning, there was a sweep. I videoed that. The homeless outreach team officer guy was there. Of course, he was the only kind of outreach he knew how to do was to reach out and grab everybody's things and tell them they have to leave them there. So Rita Acosta, who is also the president of the Salinas Homeless Union, and especially of this camp over at Sherwood Park, they just kind of, had to keep on getting driven out, and so she was rubbing them in and, asking questions. So it was kind of a bummer of a day, of course, half a dozen police officers and a dozen Smith and Enright. They're leaving trash everywhere, not doing their job. So, of course, I'm hassling them. And then, even the chief of police, I guess he was going to go and talk to these other ladies, they push him out from the park. They push him. They say, you got to go on the sidewalk. Well, then you go on the sidewalk, and they say, no, not on this side of the street. Then you go to the other side of the street, and they're like, no, you can't be at this shopping center. And then, you know, it's like, they just keep on herding like cattle, man. It's crazy.
Now, was this during...
You end up dropping more stuff.
Was this during the day or during the night?
This is 7 o'clock in the morning.
And so people, they're allowed to be in the parks until 7 a.m. and then they drive them out?
Yeah, that's a designated time for the sweep. They usually do it every morning. I mean, this is probably a police officer's, 40% of their day is following around Smith and Enright, to camps, doing sweeps.
I often ask you this question, but I wonder, have you had any more success in getting phone contacts from any of these folks who are being driven around, or driven away, I should say?
The main thing you will see on that video, I guess, is our own camp, I guess. I've been kind of self-centered because they're the ones who've been the most organized, whatever role model, seem to look for.
What camp is that? What camp is that, and where is it, for those who want to know?
Well, I guess you can call it the Big Ass, camp or something. And, they're at Sherwood Park. They get constantly, harassed. They're the only people in the city that get told at 7 a.m. their tents have to be down, or else, they'll get a ticket. And, so threat of violence enforced, especially with somebody with a gun. And, then it's also another way to do stop and frisk on people. So, it's amazing how they can just make a case off of nothing.
Now,
but they were doing it.
You say you've been videoing this. Of course, tell us where we can find these videos.
It's called John Doe 13K, J-O-H-N, space D-O-E 1-3-K. And it's on YouTube.
And that's two words. First word is John. The second word is Doe 13K, right?
Correct.
And that has a lot of your videos, not only of these kinds of incidents and of the situation back east, but also your recent attempts to hold the mayor and the police chief accountable when they are present at some of these so-called cleanups, right?
Yeah, I think that one's already got like 350 views in the last few days. That was last Friday that happened, and I think I put it up like on whatever Monday, right before I left on Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm. The new law that makes it, that I guess is starting, is already being enforced. Is there, have any tickets reached court? Have you had any sense of any change in police behavior?
I suppose I need a larger network of people because I know people have been ticketed, but unless people have hit me up directly of like, hey, dude, I got courted this time, can you come? I'm kind of lost. I've taken pictures, but I have not really followed up because, that takes all kinds of more research effort and energy than I've got available.
Have you been to any of these court proceedings? And if so, can you kind of walk us through what they look like if you've seen them?
Well, what I've been telling people is that they need to plead not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. You claim indigent and you get a public defender. Who's going to pretend, but that's why you got to say not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Take that shit to trial, and then, a jury of your peers, which they're not, but, hopefully, there's that.
Unlike in Santa Cruz, these are misdemeanors over in Salinas, so that you do get a public defender and a jury trial. Does this also mean that people are regularly jailed for this, or does it mean that they're simply... cited and released, and their property, I presume at times, is their property taken under these circumstances?
Of course. Well, and that's only after they've tried to dress you down in any other situation they could do, because that is, after all, what they're looking for is they build a larger case and, make a large haul off you. So, that's your intent. That I've noticed anyway in most of my interactions with them, or observing them. So,
can you give us a sense of, has the law gone through any evolution or devolution in Salinas over the last 3 or 4 years due to combination of your work, your organizing, legal challenges through Anthony Prince and your group, and just maybe the Boise versus Martin decision and just financial contingencies. Up in Berkeley, for example, First They Claim for the Homeless organizer Mike Zintz suggested the reason that they are now being left alone, one of their camps, First They Came for the Homeless, now called the Here There Camp on the edge of Berkeley, is because it's become too expensive to go after them. It takes up too much money for the police to have to do this. In other words, have you found, if we were to review how things have gone in the last 4 years, have you seen any changes in what's happening, or is it all just a kind of a familiar blur?
No, I do believe that money is not an object in police. And because look at how much budget goes toward hurting people rather than helping people. So it's an addiction and a mental illness in its own. You know, what is interesting is that the combined efforts of myself and a few other people, including Pamela Weston, I can't remember exactly her organization, but she's got a lot to do with the Mental Health Services Act. So she basically has been very connected with the city and county, trying to, you know, work with them about, you know, some minimal standards on operating procedures. Especially before they even try to enforce this citation arrest issue that starts on July 10th. So, not only people getting, you know, hurt, they're also going to get threatened there too. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So has there actually been... Are arrests, citations, and property seizures waiting until July 10th, or have you seen this happening recently?
You know what? If they have a reason to bother you, they will. And so that 7-7 thing, the 10th being down, has been, like I said, a major precursor for stop and frisk. So, yeah, dude, they leave it until they catch somebody. You know, I mean, they need to catch a fish. So that's what their main intent is. And goal and objective is to take somebody with them and kidnap them. So, you know, that's what I've been videoing and observing is a lot of that. And typically it's, you know, oh, you're on probation or whatever, you know, so we can just look at you anyway. And, even when there's nothing on them, they still harass them.
So what kind of enforcement will change or develop or begin in July that you mentioned, and what law are we talking about that will be enforced?
Well, they're citing 2814, where nobody can be in the park overnight, and then they also cite 16.140.030, which is, you know, the whole 140 series is all illegal camping, lean-to, strung to, whatever, a box all by itself. They don't care, and so they listed everything. But they also did set in there that up to six people could stay in somebody's backyard or front yard, as long as they have access to the bathroom. So, there's something for homeowners if they're really interested, or a business or whatever, but of course, they'd have to be trustworthy people.
Now, as we all know, and people who have been listening to these broadcasts are probably tired of hearing, or maybe not, the Boise versus Martin federal court decision essentially found that you don't even have to show that there isn't a bed for you that night, but if you can show that there's generally a shelter sufficiency in any particular city, that city cannot enforce a camping ban on public property. So has any case in Salinas been taken to court and used that court decision, that federal court decision, as a basis for challenging?
Well, the only person that is capable of bringing something like that to court right now, I guess, is not me. So I haven't found my other counterpart yet. No official court proceedings have tried. I mean, CLA is observing, and I don't know how much they will or can get involved, but they're the best hope we got in this area region so far, unless any other attorney steps up. National Wonder Skill doesn't seem to be much help, so that's really what's been disappointing me. The ACLU has not been that much help, so that's been really disappointing me. I don't know what to do with these people.
But what about public
poverty center? Where is this help?
Wait a minute now. Hold it. Public defenders who are forced, required to defend these folks in misdemeanor cases, those who choose to plead not guilty, and I admit that's not necessarily happened very frequently, and it also you can plead not guilty and then not show up in court, and you know, you get with failure to appear. But but certainly, isn't it true that some, I guess you haven't heard if any particular public defender has ever taken such a case, because remember, this has gone on for almost a year. We're talking September of last year when this case was, you know, published and decided. I'm just wondering if there's been any, you know, it's hard to imagine that one case hasn't showed up, that a public defender didn't, you know, pull this one out of his briefcase and say, hey, wait a minute, Your Honor. Not that the judge would pay any attention, mind you, but you know, what about this Boise versus Martin decision? I take you at your word that there has not been, you know, you've been busy doing a lot of things and you haven't seen that happen. And, you know, you don't spend your entire life camping in the courtroom hallways. But if you ever have a chance to talk to the public defender's office, you might be able to get them to put you in touch with the public defender who has, in fact, dealt with such a case. And if you do, I'd like to hear about it.
Okay, you know what? That's a really easy field trip to make, too, just go down to the public defender's office.
I think it would be interesting because here we don't have that system. As I said before, we have this infraction situation where they simply, you know, throw people into the court of a referee or a commissioner who just essentially, you know, either can find you guilty or give you community service or accept a note from the Homeless Lack of Services Center. Although I actually have been hearing that even parking violations used against RV dwellers in order to drive them away from an area have been thrown out simply on the basis of a person who comes in with a letter from the Homeless Lack of Services Center, actually, saying, oh, this person is one of our clients, we have a long waiting list, let him go. And that's happened. I know a woman recently who told me I don't know if she's been successful with her most recent 12 tickets, which she got within a period of 72 hours, according to what she told a group of people, including Drew Glover last night, who held an agenda meeting for the upcoming Tuesday City Council meeting. He's now doing a regular agenda meeting at 5 or 5:30 every Friday before the Tuesday City Council meetings. But, you know, we have the situation where they're using a number. I'm mentioning all of this kind of for the benefit of those who are Santa Cruz listeners who may have friends or actually themselves be in this situation. But, you know, you have a different situation over there. And also, I don't know who has less resources, over here or over there. I mean, you've actually organized a campground at one time in a way that involved essentially 12-hour a night campground in front of City Hall and for 20 people. And you didn't, you know, with no bureaucratic process at all, and just to show up and throw down, you know, you had to not get drunk and disorderly, but, you know, that was the flagpole campground that you had. And that's quite an achievement. And of course, you've also been out there monitoring Chinatown, providing documentation for homeless activists throughout the state, now perhaps throughout the country, with your visit to Washington. Is it Cheerios you eat every morning? How do you get away with this?
What was the question?
I'm kind of running out of steam, and I don't even know what the question is, except I just encourage you to stay in touch with us, with me anyway, if you do actually get more information about Boise versus Martin and its use or non-use by public defenders in the Salinas courts, because you know, they get paid to do this stuff. And they probably don't do a very good job, but they are the ones who would have the most familiarity because they probably deal with this kind of stuff on a daily basis. I suspect there are homeless people who get dragged into court every day for one reason or another. It's sort of the natural or the unnatural, but usual way things run in cities in California and I suspect across the country. Well, anything you want to mention that's come up that I've kind of bounced gone to a couple of particular subjects of my interest, but anything else you got?
Well, you know, just that Salinas Police is highly professional, and the third thing is going to be in the video, especially our homeless outreach team officer. I mean, at least on this day. Maybe he's going to improve in the future, I don't know, because like I said, there was a little bit of movement with the city and county as far as holding themselves accountable to a small degree. So, you know, that remains to be seen, but it does seem to be like a movement, you know, a little bit of movement in the needle. Tina Laporte, who works for the city, who used to work for Interim, you know, I think is some kind of director, and or maybe the director, I'm not sure. And, you know, because she wanted to do more than what Interim's policies would allow. So she worked for the city, which, you know, doesn't have that much room for policy either. So so I think, you know, I think we had a good talk. You know, like I said, she talked with Pam. So, you know, and then the interaction with the outreach team officer is rather immature. He called me chicken shit for not turning off the video camera when he asked me to tell me something. And I said, if you're not interested in putting it on record, well, then, you know, what's the point? I don't even get it. So I walked away.
And, of course, people can see this, right, if they want to see the video at John Doe 13K. And what is it called? What do you call the video?
It would have the word Sherwood Sweep in there somewhere, Sherwood Park Sweep.
Sherwood Park Sweeps. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the real kicker. Right after he asked me and told me, and I walked away, he went and turned down this lady's basket in a really large thing. And so he went over to grab it. He turned his truck and pulled in and went to grab it. And he had his hands on it. And she said, well, please, please, just crying, dude, running and crying to come and get it. And please, that's my stuff, please. And he's like, you're not supposed to leave it abandoned. And he's all, I told that chick shit West already. That's what I was going to tell him. And, you know, I mean, damn, dude, he's yelling at her. And there's already three people walking up to, you know, stop him from taking it. I mean, and then later, Rita, you know, tried to get this other set of stuff. It was a crate and a basket. And, you know, she's like, can I get that for my friends? He's like, no, you have to leave it there. And that's the outreach team officer, dude. He's raking shit up and, you know.
Name of the outreach officer?
Huh?
His name?
Oh, Carvey. Carvey. Gabe Carvey.
Spell it.
C-A-R-V-E-Y.
Huh. Garvey?
Carvey, with a C like cat.
Carvey, I got you. Well, I hope Officer Carvey gets a message that perhaps not everyone agrees with his policies. Well, listen.
At the end, the lady that got her stuff, she's all, heartless! Heartless!
And has he abandoned? He's immediately resigned and gone into humanitarian work in Uganda, right?
Oh well, of course he's repented. That's how come there's a little bit of movement here with the county services. Supposedly they're going to coordinate a little bit better because I certainly caught him flat-footed. So you know, I think they're trying to CYA themselves.
Well, I thank you, Wes. I'm gonna roll because I'm gonna try to. Do a few more interviews, and again, I'll give you the last word.
All right, no, dude, we'll stay strong, dude. Keep up the good fight. You're doing great.
Thank you for nice words, and sounds like you're the one with the video camera on the scene. Thank you, sir.
Right on. Yeah, I'll send you a copy. It'll be fun.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.